It feels really good. I mean, I'm talking about the weather. It feels really not, well. It feels nice. I mean, I know it's warm. It's August 27th. Of course, it's warm. But man, when I walked out today, it was not hit by that that sauna grade humidity. It just felt so so nice. We have a school shooting to follow today, and to talk about just a little bit this. A person in their 20s, and you know the philosophy that I have on this show is I do not mention the names of the shooters because quite often, even though they die and they know they're going to die, they relish in the idea, and one thing that motivates them is the attention they know they're going to get after they're dead. Even though they might not know it, I don't want to give them that satisfaction. So it is my policy to not mention the names of the shooters because I don't want to give them that satisfaction, even in death. But just the real tragedy of this is the visual that these students were in church praying. It was an all-school mass, the third day of the new school week and the new school year. And somebody, a white person in their 20s, pulls up and just starts shooting at the school. They had three guns, a shotgun, a revolver, and a rifle. And they started shooting, and two young people are dead, two children are dead, 17 others injured, 14 children, and three adults. And, you know, there's no way to explain this. It defies explanation. I think it's just another example, as I said earlier, of somebody allowing their anger and frustration, their bitterness, or whatever, to dictate their behavior. And you can be angry and you can be bitter, but if you act on that, you're going to be held accountable. I guess it's a good thing that he killed himself because we don't have to worry about him anymore. But it would be nice to know exactly why he did it. And we'll find out something. The police will find out something from things that he wrote, things that he told people, from his phone, from his emails, from maybe from a website or a social media site. They'll find out something. President Trump issued a rather brief statement, said that he has not been fully briefed on the tragic shooting in Minneapolis. The FBI quickly responded and they're on the scene. The White House will continue to monitor this terrible situation. Please join me in praying for everyone involved. It's going to be interesting to see the extent that the president responds to this, since he doesn't like Tim Walz, who is governor, and there's going to be a Democrat who is mayor of the city, and President Trump does not respond to those situations like he does if there are conservatives or Republicans involved. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. Cracker Barrel has now gone back to their original logo. You know, they changed the logo. And they changed some things inside the restaurant. I've been to Cracker Barrel a couple of times. I mean, it's been probably 10 years since I've been in a Cracker Barrel. And, you know, the food's okay. If you love it, that's okay. If you love Cracker Barrel, I mean, it has a certain ambiance about it. It's a down-home, hoedown country kind of place. And that's just my way of describing it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it's apparently they got to the point where they wanted to refresh the brand. And so they wanted to change the logo. They didn't really change it that much. And people absolutely freaked out about this. And, I think a lot of people are just resistant to change because they don't like change. And there's so many things in our lives that just change so rapidly that when something like a logo changes, so a lot of people freak out over it. The goal of the restaurant was to attract new and younger customers. But I think they would have had to do more than change the logo or change some things inside to do that. I don't think that would have been successful. So in the meantime, they really PO'd a bunch of their customers, a bunch of their fans. President Trump yesterday made some comment about they ought to go back to the original logo, and that's what they have exactly decided to do, go back to the original logo. Backlash was just incredible. They're bringing back the old man leaning on the barrel as part of the logo. I mean, the logo still had the gold and brown, the new logo, and it didn't look that different to me, but to some people, it was quite different. But anyway, they're going back to the original stuff. Their market value after they changed the logo dropped about $143 million. So this was a huge, huge mistake. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody or somebodies get fired from Cracker Barrel for trying to update the brand. But it's a natural thing to do. You know, you've got this brand sitting there, and maybe Cracker Barrel felt like, okay, we're making a lot of people happy, but there are a lot more people out there. Maybe we need to refresh the brand. I think they needed to do more of a makeover if they were going to attract new and younger people. And so in the process, they just made a lot of people angry. So they're going back to the original stuff. So look, we've got some more remembering of Katrina 20 years later to get to in just a few minutes. So let me share with you conservative MAGA host Charlie Kirk, who, you know, I mean, I think Charlie Kirk is kind of a clown, but he's an ultra, 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 ultra conservative. And he has every right to be that way. But when you start criticizing Taylor Swift and Katy Perry and J-Lo because they don't look or act their age, well, Kirk is pretty much stuck looking and acting his age or even older than his age. I mean, nobody looks more just uptight and conservative than Charlie Kirk. That's my opinion. And since he started talking about the looks of other people, I'll mention his looks. I don't think he's anybody to be talking about other people's looks. But if he wants to, then people are going to take shots at him, too. If you don't act your age, if you don't look your age, that's a damn blessing. And people like Taylor Swift and Katy Perry and J-Lo not acting their age and dancing and having fun and not looking or acting their age, I think that's a positive example to set for people, because there are far too many people in this world who are uptight, like Charlie Kirk. And, you know, I don't know, man, being uptight would be a really, in my opinion, it would be kind of a miserable way to go through life. But this is America. If you want to go through life uptight, you can. Anyway, Charlie Kirk's advice to newly engaged Taylor Swift is submit to your husband. And I posted a video on Scoot on the Air Facebook about this. And I was really surprised at some of the comments. Of course, you know, some of the comments were just about my appearance and, you know, whatever. It's amazing to me why so many men in particular, and some of them are women, but why so many men are just obsessed with me. I mean, they're obsessed. I mean, they pay attention to everything that I say or do, and it's just really, it's kind of amazing. It's kind of creepy, but it is amazing. Here's a comment from Douglas on SOTA Facebook. She would be happier and they would have a longer lasting relationship if she did. If she were submissive to her husband? I mean, are there people out there who still think this way? I mean, Douglas does. Charlie Kirk does. Somebody did comment on Facebook that wouldn't it be better if it's more of an equal partnership? Well, I think hell yeah. I believe, and I'll tell you, there are a lot of men who are not going to admit this, but when I say it, they're going to go, they're not going to want to say it, but they're going to they have to admit that it's them. A lot of men who don't like strong women are really insecure. And the way they gain power is to put a woman down, to make sure that a woman is not powerful, to make sure that a woman has no power, that she is totally submissive. And a lot of men who do this are really insecure with their masculinity, insecure with who they are. And the machismo and the overbearing macho mentality is a cover-up for somebody who really is not that secure with their masculinity. Here is a comment that says, what does it say? Oh, it looks like a Trump hairstyle. Okay, I got my hair cut. In fact, I posted a picture of my son, Sean, cutting my hair. I posted it on Instagram, Scoot on the Air Instagram. He had to do an adjustment outside of, on the bench outside of Camellia Grill, Carrollton and St. Charles. Yeah, we did it out there. Got a haircut out there. Kind of interesting. It was fun. Let's see. Donna says, I bet he submits to his husband. What, me? That I submit to my husband? Are you kidding, Donna? Do you think in 2025, do you think I would submit to my husband? There's no way. I'm not submitting to my husband. I'm an equal. Anyway, there's stupid comments like this on Facebook. And yeah, that's why I love being on Substack. I hope you download the Substack app and join Scoot on the air on Substack. Become a subscriber. Charlie Kirk also says that, and look, by the way, if you want to put a woman into submission, into a submissive position, and she allows it, and you want to do that, and she's okay with it, that's okay. This is America. But I'm surprised that there are women who would go along with that. I am. And I'm surprised that there are men who think it's important for a woman to submit to her husband. He also says, I want them to have lots of children because it teaches you something about yourself. I agree with that. Having lots of children, that's up to them. But you don't have to have, you can only have one child, and it shows you a lot about yourself. It also reminds you that there's something more important than yourself, your kids. Now, not every parent feels that way. I do, and many of you do, but not all parents feel that way. Also, Charlie Kirk is hoping that being married and having children turns Taylor Swift into a conservative, speculating that she was probably raised as a conservative and then got caught up in metropolitan liberal stuff and became a liberal. And he's hoping that marriage and having kids changes her. Marriage and having kids does change you. Again, it reminds you that there's something more important than yourself. You can't be married and have kids and be totally selfish if you're a good husband, wife, or a good parent. But I don't know that getting married and having kids changes your core political beliefs. But hey, we'll see what happens. All right, we're going to continue to remember Katrina 20 years later, coming up on WWL. If you do want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm scrambling here. I've got all these papers on top of papers here. I can't find it right this second. But on the Scoot on the Air, oh, here it is. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, it was on this day in, what was the day? It was on this day in, I'm going to find it. At least you've got music playing in the background. On this day in 2013, Miley Cyrus performed in a very risque manner on the MTV Video Music Awards, and it drew a lot of criticism from parental groups trying to pressure MTV and just pressure society. In particular, the Parents Television Council issued a complaint against MTV for this routine by Miley Cyrus. She danced suggestively in a nude-type bikini with Robin Thicke. They did this song. And the group argued that the show should not be rated as suitable for 14-year-olds. And the group said that heads should roll at MTV. I don't know if anybody was fired for that. But you know what's interesting? Miley Cyrus has changed herself. She's now kind of grown up a little bit, and she's not doing that kind of stuff anymore. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. This is Ella Grace Francis. She is part of a big concert Friday night on the anniversary of Katrina. It's titled Waves of Grace, Remembering Katrina, live at the Orpheum Theater Friday night. Doors open at 6, show starts at 7, and Ella Grace Francis is part of that. Ella joins us on WWL. Ella, welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. All right. Also joining us is Billy Dorsey. He's a producer for The Bridge Life Incorporated. That's a Grammy award-winning music and event production company producing this Remembering Katrina 20-year anniversary benefit concert, and that's going to be at the Orpheum Friday night. So, Billy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us. It's an honor to be speaking with you today.
Oh, thank you, Billy. You've got a great lineup. Irma Thomas, Ella Grace Francis, Rockin' Doopsie Jr., my friend Amanda Shaw, Kermit Ruffins, who was with us earlier, Rebirth Brass Band, Sarah Jane McMahon, and it's going to be a great event, and 100% of the benefits are going to go to help charities that are still helping families. There are still people 20 years later displaced, so thank you for what you're doing, Billy. Let me go to Ella Grace first. Talk as an artist, talk about singing about songs that touch people's soul at a time when they're remembering a tragedy.
Did
oh, wait, okay.
Her?
Wait, I think we lost her. So, Billy, let's talk to you for just a moment. So tickets are available through Ticketmaster.com, and the doors open at 6, and the show starts at 7. It's open to all ages. Let's remind people of that, too.
That's right. It's open to all ages. We want to bring the entire city out. A lot of people don't necessarily want to remember what Katrina did in terms of the negativity, and we understand that. And what our heart in this event is to celebrate how far the city has come since Katrina. That's really what we want to remember and be mindful of. And it's open to all ages, Scoot.
Yeah. All right. Ella is back with. Do you want me to call you Ella or Ella Grace?
Ella Grace is fine.
Okay, Ella Grace. Thank you for being part of this this concert. And I was asking you, I know you're young, as an artist, how is it going to feel and what will it be like to sing songs that relate to people who are remembering a very difficult time in their life?
I feel very honored to be a part of this, and I think it's going to be very powerful. That's really the two things that come to mind when you ask me that question, because so many people lives through that, and I believe that art is very powerful. Art reflects life, and so to be able to sing songs that resonate with people and a lot of the times comfort people is a huge honor that I'm very proud to be a part of.
So you're still 16 years old?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 16 from Destrehand, and mm-hmm. you've been touring. Where have you been?
So far we've been to Chicago, and then New Orleans is our second city.
Yeah. So how would you describe your genre? I mean, you're a young person and, you know, I hear, a softer genre, not that there's anything wrong with that. That's just my impression mm-hmm. of it. And not a rock genre. You know, there are people like Lorde, people like Billie Eilish, who have done mm-hmm. things that have not been like, you know, they're young people. They're not doing like, you know, rock pop stuff, stuff
right.
that's a little bit more esoteric, if you will. So describe your genre.
There's a few other songs on my album, Waves, that are more pop and upbeat, but I would definitely describe it as like a softer pop, inspirational type genre.
Yeah. So at the age of 16, where do you come up with the idea of inspiring other people?
Well, you know, this album specifically, I always write what's in my heart, right? A lot of people mm-hmm. do that. And so, this album is actually inspired by a personal story of mine. I lost both of my grandmothers within 8 months, and so I was very close with both of them, and seeing my family go through that, but then also myself dealing with my own grief, it's very indescribable feelings, and music was very healing for me, and that's what I turned to in those moments, along with turning to God. And I just really, this album is a labor of love of my grief, and yeah. it's been able to help so many people.
Well, not everybody your age has the ability to do that. They still grieve in their own way. But to some degree, it must be cathartic. It must be comforting to have that outlet to express your grief in this manner.
It is. It's very healing.
Yeah. And Billy, I know you're happy to have Ella Grace on the bill. And you've got, you know, these classics, Irma Thomas and Kermit Ruffins and others. And it should be a really great show. And I hope a lot of people will show up for this.
If he's not there speaking.
Yeah. Billy, are you with us?
With you.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm hoping that a lot of people show up for this because, again, 100% of the benefits are going to, all the proceeds are going to really go to help the people. And believe it or not, there are still people who are struggling 20 years later.
Oh, I believe that. I definitely believe it. I think, you know, when you deal with something that was as devastating as this particular storm was and affected so many people, sometimes it takes people generations to get out of what that places them in. And if we can, if we can help to turn things in the right direction, that's our heart and our goal. So First Responders Children's Foundation, United Cajun Navy, Next Generation Ministries, and LCMC are the beneficiaries of this concert. and we're honored to be able to raise money to be a blessing to them and to the people they serve.
Yeah. Do you have a recollection of Katrina? Were you here for Katrina?
I wasn't. I actually lived in Houston at the time that Hurricane Katrina happened. My family is from Louisiana, so I definitely have roots in the state. But I remember seeing, obviously watching online, I think the whole world was holding their breath when the storm was coming in and seeing the devastation. And I remember seeing the flood of people who came to Houston because they had nowhere to go at the time. And Houston became a second home for many of them, and some of them chose to stay.
No, that's right. I get calls from. I get a lot of people who listen to the show who are in Houston, and they moved there because of Katrina, and this show is their tie to New Orleans. The station is their tie to New Orleans.
Wow. Yeah, I believe it.
So, Ella Grace, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying that's what happened to my grandparents. They evacuated from Hurricane Katrina, and they've lived in Houston ever since.
Yeah. So I'm sorry you went through the loss of two grandmothers in a very close period of time. What do you hope to do with your young career?
That's a very good question. You know, I just want to reach as many people as I can. Right now, my ministry and my goal is to get as many people to hear this album, because the stories that I have heard are people being comforted in their grief. And really what's unique about it, I feel, is that it holds space for painful moments, especially in inspirational music. It always talks about the good things about it, which I have that on my album, but I definitely hold space for darker moments. And I think that people need that. They need art that resonates with what they're feeling. And so I've heard so many stories of people listening to it and being comforted by it. And right now my goal is to get as many people to hear it as possible and get it out to the right audience.
Well, Ella Grace, it seemed like a really, you know, wonderful human being. So if Katrina, you know, we're celebrating the 20th anniversary of Katrina, you're 16 years old, you've only heard stories, but from the stories that you've heard, what stands out in your mind about Katrina?
There were so many people, you know, I've heard so many stories. I just remember being little, and even though I was not there to experience it, I remember driving around New Orleans and my mom just telling me things like, you know, during Katrina, all this was underwater. Or we drive past a building and she was like, you know, this used to be a really big thing before Katrina. Like, you can see the missing parts of the culture, even though I wasn't there for a pre-Katrina New Orleans, really.
Yeah.
You the scars of it, really.
When I talk to you, I get a sense that you're much older than your age.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you're a remarkable person, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in concert, and it's going to be just a great show, a cathartic show. It's about raising money for those people who still need help, but it's also a celebration, and you're going to be a part of that. So listen, best of luck with your career, Ella Grace Francis, and I'm sure we'll be talking again sometime soon. And have a great show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. And Billy, people can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. If there are tickets available, they'll be able to get them at the door Friday night. Doors
That's
open
right.
at 6.
That's right. Doors open at 6. Show starts at 7. And they can also go to WavesOfGraceRememberingKatrina.com to both buy tickets, and if people want to donate to the charities that we've listed, they can do that on our website as well.
Okay. Billy, thank you for what you're doing, and you put together a great lineup. It should be a great show Friday night.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Billy Dorsey, who is a part of The Bridge Life, which is a Grammy-winning music and event production company, and they're producing this Waves of Grace, Remembering Katrina. It's at the Orpheum Theater, and Ella Grace Francis, who we just talked to, is a part of that, along with Irma Thomas, Kermit Ruffins, Amanda Shaw, Rockin' Doopsie Jr., Sarah Jane McMahon, and the Rebirth, I keep messing that up, Rebirth Brass Band. I keep wanting to say the Rebrass Birth Band. The Rebirth Brass Band. Doors open at 6. Get your tickets, and it's going to be a celebration. And again, you can bring the kids. It's open to all ages. And we'll go to break with another song from Ella Grace Francis. This is Footprints. And boy, she's an amazing songwriter at 16 years old. So we'll listen to this as we go to break. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Boy, this was a band that really helped define the grunge era. And on this day in 1991, Pearl Jam released their debut album titled 10. And this album launched Pearl Jam into the orbit around the growing world of grunge. Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden. Those were the four main bands that were defining grunge. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. Yeah, look, I just want to mention that. I mean, I paid, so it's not like I'm giving them a free plug or anything. Louisiana Dental Center is one of our clients, and Bobby Aber does their commercials, and you hear that. But I had this little bonded area that it broke loose, and I wanted to get that fixed because I was kind of self-conscious about it. And man, they did an artistic job fixing my tooth today, this morning. I mean, it just took no time at all. It was a small thing, but it was something that I noticed. And if you were up close, you would notice it. Maybe you notice it in the videos that I do. But I got it fixed. And Louisiana Dental Center, they were so nice and did such a great job. Tomorrow, I want to talk to my friend Amanda Shaw, who is part of the Waves of Grace, remembering Katrina concert Friday night at the Orpheum. She also has new music out. Amanda has written new music about remembering Katrina, and we'll sample that on the show tomorrow afternoon. Let's go to James on the North Shore. James, thank you for hanging on. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot, man. It's good to be on again today. I would like to say something about Katrina real quick before I get into what I was going to call about.
Okay.
I remember back in 2004, Christmas Eve of 2004, everything started for me. I got in some trouble that day. I knew earlier in that day. I was looking at my daughter's mother's armoire in the mirror, and I just started crying, pouring tears, knowing something was going to happen. I ended up going to jail that day. But in going to jail that day, it got me ready for when Katrina came, that I was in a place I needed to be. I ended up in Alexandria at the Pentecostal campground, and I was going to NA meetings at the time up there, and they had a live remote with the convention that was in Hawaii that year. And the people at the NA that day come up to me and said, look, we would like you to announce yourself, because we had a live remote hooked right up to the convention. So they were able to come in, and I was able to speak, say my name. My name is James, and I'm an addict, and I'm up from New Orleans in Alexandria, and we thank everyone for their prayer. And it just felt like such a great, it was a big moment. It was a great moment. You know what I'm saying? And it stuck with me all those years that, in that time that I was a person speaking for Southeast Louisiana and people who were in addiction. A lot of people are really in bad addiction and trouble. I was okay. The Lord had saved me months earlier. So during that time, I didn't have to worry about detoxing. I didn't have to worry about a habit. I was great. I was there to take care of my mom. I was working a job up there. I got a job as soon as I got up there. All these great things happened, and I just wanted to share that with everybody. It was a beautiful moment for me, and I wanted to share that with everybody.
James, I appreciate you sharing that.
Really, yeah, and I did call because yesterday when we did the sports list, there was no racing movies on there. No racing movies on the list. There was no Ferrari and
yeah,
Ford.
Right.
No Days of Thunder. No Talladega Nights. And my favorite personal race movie ever was Six Pack with Kenny Rogers back in 82.
Wow.
I love that movie. I suggest people who love the 80s to go watch that movie. And they got a great song. It's a great soundtrack that goes to that movie. Kenny sings along with that movie.
And it's called Six Pack?
Yeah, Six Pack. Uh-huh.
Six Pack.
Love turns things around. Turn you around. Kenny Rogers, great. People, go check it out. Thanks for having me on, Scoot. Love y'all. Take care, man.
All right. All right, James. James is a great story. James worked at a strip club, and I think he was very active employee at the strip club and met a lot of ladies and was into drugs and a lot of alcohol. And man, he's a totally different person today. And it just goes to show you that no matter what you're doing in your life, you actually can change. And he certainly has. I think it's kind of interesting that, President Trump really disliked Taylor Swift. And she gets engaged, and during that long marathon cabinet meeting yesterday, President Trump said that Taylor Swift is a terrific person. And I'm just, what is that inconsistency all about? I mean, I'm glad that he thinks she's a terrific person, because I think she is, but boy, he was really disliking on her just, weeks before that. Also, in the cabinet meeting, President Trump said that America would accept a dictator if it meant less crime. We'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow. I don't agree with him. And it's interesting how President Trump himself is bringing up the dictator conversation. And it's almost like he's pointing out some of the positive things about being a dictator, because maybe that's what he wants to be. Anyway, here's a song that Jackson Browne wrote. A lot of artists, national artists, were touched by what we went through with Katrina, and he wrote this song about Katrina. Yeah, Wednesday afternoon. We are halfway to the weekend. I told you the week was going to fly by. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you have been with us. Sports Talk with Mike Dettelier, Steve Geller coming up next, and Super Bowl champ Scott Shanley joins the team at 4:20, and they'll have a lot to talk about. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, our studio producer Coleman, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, and traffic with Courtney P. If you haven't done it yet, I invite you to subscribe to Scoot on the Air Substack. Just download the Substack app. It's a whole different audience. You might not agree with everything, but I love being there. Just find Scoot on the Air after you download the Substack app and become a subscriber. All right, thank you for being part of the show. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.